meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Today is the birthday. I had the children's mass this morning. Well, this is Father Anthony, so your brother, I share with you the distress, the endurance, and the kingdom we have in Christ Jesus. Taking those words right from the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, borrowing those words from St. John. Indeed, the distress, the kingdom, the endurance we have in Christ Jesus. As we begin, let me just say that we're certainly praying for the people. We're still praying for the people who have been affected by the Hurricane Harvey in Texas and Louisiana, and now certainly those who have already been deeply affected by this Hurricane Irma. And as it approaches Florida, but projected to envelop the entire state, from what I understand. Hi, Tony. Welcome.
Hey,
you came in.
Yeah.
Just kind of threw me off there. So.
Sorry.
Anyway, it's good to have you. But anyway, it's a beast of a storm.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah. It's getting big.
So we're praying for everybody there. We have a lot of people. My family's down in Florida, and a lot of people who work here, Frank and Pierre, they're actually from Miami. They've got family in Miami. Frank's mother, he's the operation director here. His mother is in Miami, sisters, and his whole family is down there. So I imagine they've already evacuated. It makes you realize there are certain things we just can't control, right?
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we're praying, and we can maybe talk about that. What does that mean? If anything, it brings us humbly to recognize that, we're not in control. Mm-hmm. That we have to yield to Almighty God and believe, as history has shown us, that good comes out of evil, and there's a certain calm that can come out of the storms of our lives. If we lean into the light, we have to lean into God. And so that's the hope, is that people will have the humility and the wisdom to do just that. So anyway, so how are you, Tony?
I'm all right.
What do you mean you're all right?
Well, I'm there.
You're there. So I apologize. Yesterday we had a little bit of a...
snafu.
Snafu. Is that a word?
Yeah,
snafu.
I think it is. Yeah. I've heard it.
It is, yeah. So we had a little bit of a snafu, but we're... I was happy with yesterday's program, actually. You know, I'm not always happy with the programs, and it seemed like it was going well, and then about midway into the program, Nick said, you know, we're not really going on, we're not being broadcast.
Maybe
but
that's
but keep
what
going.
It was then.
Yeah. So, but it was a good show, and it's on the podcast. What's that?
We have the program in the can, so we can
broadcast. It'll be broadcast, but it's on podcast, I guess, or whatever, I think, you know, so anyway, but I was... It was a fun show. I don't remember what it was all about, but
that's a good thing.
It was a good show. It was a happy hour, a quick hour. Let me just say, when the hour goes fast, then I know it's a good show. So, hey, today is so I asked the children today as they came. We had the, of course, it's Friday, so we had the mass, and So I had the altar servers there, and I said, you know, whose birthday is it today? Somebody's birthday. And they said, oh, your birthday. And I said, no, it's not my birthday, but somebody we all know. And one of the kids said, it's the Blessed Virgin Mary's birthday. I said, how'd you know that? How did you know that? Because I didn't expect that anybody would know that. Mm. And he saw that I was wearing the vestment that had the image of Our Lady of Częstochowa. Mm. So this is a very smart. And when I spoke to the students, of course, they would have caught it in the first read, in the opening prayer, mm-hmm. of the Mass, because it speaks to the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. But it took them a while. But one little girl, you know, she caught it. She said, oh, "It says the Blessed Mother's birthday today." So it's kind of nice. But I've got the upper grades, the 8th graders and the 7th graders and the 6th graders up front now. So I've got them. They've always been in the back. So now they're not very responsive. You know, right. They're kind of in the back sleeping, it seems to me.
So is that why you put them up front?
That's exactly right. This okay. is our third Mass of the year. And I've always wanted to do this. I don't know why, but they've always had the little children in the front. So you have the first grade on one side, and you got the second grade, then the third grade, the fourth grade on the side, mm-hmm. in the center, apart from each other, and then behind them, toward the back of the nave, are the big students, the big kids, and so they don't think I see them, and they're not very responsive, and so last week they were so unresponsive that I kind of called them out, mm-hmm. not kind of, I did. And I went to the back afterwards, and I said, you know, you guys, I want the upper grade in the front. So we'll put the lower grades to the one side and the upper grades up to the front. So it was nice. It was nice having them up front. I could direct my attention to them. Mm-hmm. But I had to allow them to get a sense of their lack of response up against these younger students. So if I say, you know, the Lord be with you, the response, of course, is and with your spirit, right? And all the younger children respond
right.
so beautifully. So I said, you know, so I hated to do this, and I said, you know, you're forcing me to do this, but I wanted them to see the difference. So different parts of the Mass where there is a response, I had the younger students just be quiet, you know, speak not, just think the prayer, think the response, right. and let the older students respond. And I had to say, you know, at one point,
it was silent.
Well, it was just, I said, you know, Jesus has to be very sorrowful, right? He has to be very sorrowful. Because you respond as if you're bored, as if you don't want to be here.
I don't know what that is. Children, the smaller kids, are the ones that are like really, you know, out there.
Sure.
They respond, but the older you get that way, teenagerish, you don't do it anymore.
Well, I
remember that.
You remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I can understand that, you know, but there's no excuse, you know. Mm-hmm. They've got to. I want them to, this year I really want to work on that. And but I said this during the Mass, I had to pause at different parts of the Mass, especially when we needed a response.
Right.
And I wanted them to hear themselves. And we repeated, like for instance, the Sanctus, I repeated a number of prayers. So it's not something you like to do, you know, because the Mass is one, it's really one prayer, and so you don't want to disrupt it in any way whatsoever. But I felt that I had to, because I had to, it became almost a teaching, a moment of teaching, you know, for them. So they, you're right, like the smaller students, and I said it, I said, you know, can you understand now why Jesus said, let the little children come to me? Because to them belongs the kingdom of God. They're open to wonder at the mystery of God, the marvel of God. There's it seems to be a natural disposition, a natural They're naturally receptive. By the time they get into the junior high, then it's almost as if, well, this is something for little children. But no, this is, you know, the religion is for the adults. You know, we can't lose that. Because, in fact, they're, and I kept reemphasizing this, you're preparing for confirmation. So I said, I mean, do you want to be here or not? If you don't want to be here, don't come. But a couple of them were just really kind of zoned out completely. And that bothered me. It really bothered, because having them so close and speaking to them, this is during the homily, this is the exhortation on the scriptures, and so of course today is the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I was very excited about the, and I want to share this during the hour as well. I love reading the gospel for this day. It comes up maybe at least two times in the year, maybe three times, but certainly on the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary and during the season of Advent, this reading from Matthew's gospel. And so I was excited about being able to, I wanted to get them excited about something. About what? About who they are and where they've come from, you know? And to emphasize, you know, as I say so often, this is our time, it's the only time we have, and let's use the time well. You know, we're in the faith of, I mean, we've got a living tradition. But these, some of those students were just, like I said, they were like zoned out, you know. So after the Mass, I went down. I had the, in fact, they all stayed. I expected the younger children to leave, and they leave quietly. They're very good with the silence, I have to say that. And if they're zoned out, you can understand why. Right. I mean, the younger kids, they're, you know, you'd think they'd be fidgeting and causing, you know, ruckus, or, you know, they're looking, no, but they're really, because we've worked on this for a number of years, and they expect the, I think they appreciate, actually, this little bit of silence they have for this hour, because they don't get it, you know, in the world today, and so I think it adds to the, it's a sacred silence. I say we've come together in sacred assembly, in the house of God, in sacred space, for the sacred mysteries of our faith, the celebration of these sacred mysteries, our encounter with God, God who visits us and feeds us, and with His Word and with the Eucharist. So, but anyway, in any case, afterwards, after the procession, I went down to the upper grades, and I just wanted to, I said, yeah, just basically say, or ask him, you know, what's the problem? What's the problem? Do you not want to be here? What's now? And I say the younger kids, they all stayed. Everybody stayed. So they were very attentive, you know, very listening. Maybe they thought I was going to really reprimand, because in a sense I was, you know, during the Mass. It was they were being reprimanded. They were being challenged. In a rather strong way, but with great respect. And I told him, I says, you know, I love you. And I said, if I were your father, and you call me father, I'm a spiritual father. Mm-hmm. But I said, if I were your father, you know, we're bound together by the blood of the Lamb, or the members of the mystical body of Christ. But if I were your father, in other words, you were my child or my children. You know, I spoke a little bit about how we would begin the day and how we would end the day, you know, that we would be conscious of God and, you know, begin with a prayer, just simple, you know, but just to, you know, as you set out for the day, you make the sign of the cross, we pray the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, maybe we'll look at the scripture of the day, or just something simple, but just to help us. You know, as you set off for the day, you're going to school, about the work of the day, you know, that we're centered in God, that we acknowledge that, you know, we've come from God, we thank God for a new day, help us, Lord, be with us as we go into the the work of this day. And then at the end of the day, we would gather again. I said, I would gather you, and we would say, you know, we'd reflect on, you know, what kind of a day was it? How did we live our faith? In what ways did we maybe deviate, or did we make mistakes, or, you know, did we, are we in need of some kind of reconciliation even among ourselves? And then, you know, end the day with prayer, thanking God that he was with us and he got us through the day, and that we can sleep peacefully through the night. Which is, by the way, that's one of the things that St. Paul says. He says, you know, never let the sun go down on your anger. At the end of the day, if you've had any argument, or if you're there's conflict between you and your wife, Tony, between you and Angelica, you know, before you lie down to sleep, be reconciled. It's for all of us, right? Mm-hmm. So that we can have a night of peaceful rest.
Yeah.
You know, wise, very, the scripture is so simple, so wise, so hard in some cases. But
exactly.
But anyway, so at the end of the Mass, I said, what's wrong with you guys? What's, and I pointed out one guy in particular who just seemed like he was just wanted to be any place but there. And I wanted to say, you know, if you to him directly, first I want to find out what's the problem. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know what he said? Mm. He says, I'm just tired. He says, I'm tired. He says, what time did you go to bed last night? You know, what time did you get up in the morning and all that? But I found that as I was going around, I said, what's the problem? Mm-hmm. Most of them were tired.
Well,
I said, you know, these are young kids. I said, you're tired. Of course, I guess, you know, we're all a little bit tired, but we've got to, you know, maybe go to bed a little bit earlier, or maybe, you know, I swear, I truly believe that this excessive access we have to all these gadgets and to the internet and to the phones and all that, it's all part of it. I think it agitates. It tires us out. I think so. You know.
I think we don't recognize it sometimes. You know. I mean, especially for little kids. I mean, there's always the PlayStations and the things like that. But I mean, it does. It takes a lot out of you.
Energy.
And there's so much to do at any given time now. It used to be where, you know, if you even like playing outside, you know, you do that. You play basketball, you play whatever, and that was the one thing. Now you can do so many different things.
Sure.
And it tires you out.
Sure. Yeah. But anyway, I was glad at least they said they were tired. They didn't say, because they kind of
was another thing.
Well, they kind of perked up a little bit. It's like, you know, it's not you. It's not it's not the faith. It's not the Mass. It's just, you know, okay. So we got to work on that. We're going to work on that. But I do think that that's. Because I know people who keep the phone beside them through the whole night.
Not good.
I've heard that. I've heard people talk about that, that they'll be texting during the night. In fact, somebody said, because we've got this Facebook now, mm-hmm. you know, but somebody said that that most exchanges or messages mm-hmm. and all that are done after the midnight hour.
Wow.
Which means that people aren't sleeping, right? Anyway, whatever. All right, we'll take a break. Today's the birthday, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. It's a feast day, but there's a movie coming out today. Do you know what that is?
Mm-mm.
Have you heard of it?
I don't think so.
It? Have you heard of it?
The clown that I'm afraid
yes,
of.
Yeah.
No. I have heard of it. Yes.
I thought you would.
No.
I bet Nick knows about it.
I'm not a clown person.
Neither am I. I've seen the
original one, Stephen King. It's really good.
Okay, so.
But I don't think it needs to be remade because it's remade with this clown is more sinister than the original. So I.
Well, there's an interesting article about that. Also, Nick's going to see it tonight with his girlfriend.
I knew Nick would.
Yeah, about that. Okay, I'd think about that. I'd give it a second thought maybe, you know, after what I read. But anyway, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change in AM 750 WNDZ.
has wreaked unprecedented devastation in Texas. You can help by offering your prayers and material support. Visit CatholicCharities.org. That's CatholicCharities.org. And click on Disaster Operations to make your secure donation. Thank you.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. I want to remind you that we have the healing mass first Saturday at 4:30, but also on Sunday in Spanish, where we have the 5:30 mass in Spanish on Sunday. So we're going to do every first Saturday in English, and the first Sunday in Spanish. So this movie it comes out today on the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So I was reading an article. So what is this? It's called It. See, I have to tell you, I do not have never been into those kind of movies, horror movies. I saw The Exorcist, of course. That was way back when. And it didn't really frighten me, but I liked it because it was the church, because of the priest, that's what drew me to it. It was a very Catholic movie in that sense. And so at that time in my life, I think it was in high school, I was drawn to it for that purpose. Anything, as I was growing up, anything that I was always drawn to, any movie that involved the faith, the church, anything. Even I guess where there was a movie about or with priests, I was drawn to that because from the time I was a child, I wanted to be a priest, and so I was naturally drawn to that, and also to the mysteries of the faith, which is something I think I mentioned. We talked about this yesterday too, that a lot of people today just are not comfortable with the supernatural, with the mystery. And yet, when it comes to the stuff that is dark or rather demonic, there seems to be this, people seem to be intrigued by that. Can you explain that? Or
I don't know. I guess it's the fear of the unknown or the interest in the unknown, and I don't know.
That it's not real, perhaps.
Maybe.
Or they don't think it's real.
Maybe.
So what's this movie about?
It's a Stephen King movie, so I think Nick would more so tell you about it. I barely remember it from being when I first seen it, but the previews, everything I see now, it seems that it focuses on the clown, which is more sinister now than it was that I remember. And Stephen King is a good writer. Some of his movies are good. I mean, if you read the books, but I'm not sure what I think the clown is doing.
It's a killer clown.
Yeah, yeah.
A killer clown. Yeah. So even in the novel, as I'm reading about it, I didn't read it, but that it's the story of a killer clown.
Yeah. See, that's a ready turn off for me because I don't like clowns.
So actually, I was now this. Evidently. Because you read about these clown sightings.
Okay, that's right? What this was.
What happened, it comes from all this.
Right.
Right?
I think that was the way, because that was going on for a while, and I think it was, people kept saying it was a promotion for something, so it could very well be this. I don't know.
Just in the past couple of years.
Yeah, this has been for a while.
So this is the why of this. Somebody was saying, or I was reading this actually, and I can appreciate this. I think that, you know, it's like the roller coaster, a roller coaster ride. You know, there's a moment or a point or a second where you think you're going to die, but you don't. So there's the thrill of the thrill of it all. Mm-hmm. Because you're not going to, you know, it's not going to happen. Although it does,
until you do,
you do. But so that's, and the same thing with the fairy tales. Mm-hmm. You're brought to face your own fears, but then they're banished, and the problem is, and this is where this commentary that I was reading this morning. That this gentleman is speaking about how a friend of his really got him into horror movies. Mm-hmm. What does they call them, right? Horror movies. What's another word for that? I always feel like I don't say that right.
It's horror.
Horror movies. Yeah. Scary movies.
Scary movies.
And a lot of it can be, you know, it just...
I like the psychological stuff. I don't like the gore and the, you know, extreme just violence. For violence sake, but if something has a serious kind of thriller type story, it's good.
What about the demonic?
I don't mess with the demonic because I know about the demonic.
Okay, see, that's the thing, and this is what this gentleman who's writing this, and I don't even know what his name is, but he, the very friend of his who got him into these movies was kind of fixated. It was an obsession. Movies about the horror movies, scary movies, working on the psyche,
right.
The demonic, until he somehow experienced or participated in a real exorcism. And he saw that, in fact, this was not just make-believe, but that there was a reality. In other words, the sinister, the dark side of life, and when I was reading that, I was thinking about, and I think I've mentioned this here before, I used to like to watch war movies. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say I had an obsession, but I liked war movies,
right.
Until I saw Saving Private Ryan, and that was too much. It was too much. It was too the reality.
Mm-hmm.
But see, what was happening though simultaneously is I was dealing with a lot of crime, a lot of gang violence mm-hmm. in the neighborhood at that time.
So you were seeing.
So I saw the reality, the aftermath of a killing, a shooting, the dismembering of a body. I remember a young girl. I saw that. So I had to deal with that. This was not make-believe. This is a reality. And so about that time that I was dealing with that, I saw the movie Saving Private Ryan. And because it was so graphic, I couldn't, I said, that was it. I can't take any of that anymore. Somebody gave me the movie, a few movies people have given to me. And as soon as I began to watch it, I said, I can't watch it. The Braveheart, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
From the very beginning, I realized this is too graphic. I can't, because this is reality. This mm-hmm. is reality. I did see, which was really quite good, actually, you know, and but it wasn't really that. It wasn't that graphic, in the sense that you saw the gore of it all. But it was a very jolting film, and that was, I don't remember the name of it, but it was just, it's out now. I don't know if you saw it. It was the Brits being rescued.
Dunkirk?
Yes, exactly, yes. Did you see it?
See, this is the thing. I want to see that movie. I'm not a war movie. I don't like war movies at all. There's a few of them that I, Save It, Private Ryan, I still haven't been able to see because I've heard it's so graphic.
Yeah, don't.
I've seen parts
see it.
Of it. I've never seen the whole thing. But I kind of, for the same reasons, I steer away from that. But this one, this is more the history part, and I wanted to see this.
Right.
I've heard it's very, very good. I've just never seen it.
It's very good, and I hadn't been to a movie in a long time, and it was in Rochester. I had a free afternoon when I was up in Rochester, and so I went to the movie.
Yeah.
And I have to say that it's a movie I'd like to see again, because I also saw it in one of those theaters where they
panoramic.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And you can feel the. It was very dramatic. It was very dramatic, but there wasn't. I have to say there wasn't. It was hard to watch, and it did bring home the reality.
Yeah.
Of the futility of war.
And
you know?
For me, those movies are the ones I like. I gravitate towards.
You should see this one. I think it's a good movie.
I haven't had the chance to get out to see a movie.
Yeah.
Ever since it came out, I have a friend at work who's like, "Oh, you got to see this. It's real good." He was telling me way in advance before it came out, and then finally, week after week, I've been trying to see it. And I just haven't had the chance.
Anyway, it's a good movie, But this guy, you know, who had this fixation or this obsession with horror movies, he after he experienced firsthand the reality of demonic, I'm assuming this was a possession or some kind of oppression, when he and again I get, you know, just even aside from the violence in the neighborhood at the time, which is really a reality in many parts of the city, or some parts of the city today, or parts of the world. I mean, when you think about that, but the people that work in emergency rooms, or, you know, anyway, just when you see that, it's got to, you know, the fact is evil, it's just not a fantasy. This is reality. But as a priest, dealing with the dysfunction in family and the consequences of, let's say, parents who end up in a very violent separation and divorce, and what that does to them and what it does to their children. You know, I deal with this on a regular basis. And so, and even this morning, as I'm speaking about the children at Mass, you know, I have to say quite honestly that I'm, in my mind, I'm wondering what's happening in the home. What is it that I don't see? That's why I wanted to ask, you know, are you okay? What are they bringing with them into the school? And I mean, you know, this is just all. There just isn't, you know, there's always been problems, right? There's always been problems. But, you know, as I say so often, when people go through a crisis, you know, see if we're moviegoers, perhaps, and people are drawn to the drama, we seem to gravitate to sad stories. We like to see how things are redeemed, you know, that there's redemption, that there's survival. But so we're willing to walk through people through some very difficult times. You know what I'm saying? In the, I can't think right offhand of this movie or that movie or whatever. But there's always the beautiful music in the background, you know? It kind of softens the real trauma, the real tragedy, the real suffering that is happening. And so it, in a sense, it glamorizes, if I could say, a certain suffering. You know, for whatever reason, the movie Ordinary People comes to mind. Do you remember that?
I mean, it's going
way back, but
yeah,
it was
a long time ago.
The tragedy of the death of a child and how that affected the parents and how it affected their relationship with their other son who survived, especially the mother and the son. And I remember it was a drama, but the music, you know, that became still the theme song for that song.
Yeah, every time you hear the song, you remember the.
Well, sure, and people use it for their weddings a lot. You know, for the processional. Mm-hmm. I forgot the name of the Paco Bell. I think it's Paco Bell.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, but you know, in real life, we don't have music in the background, right? there isn't that soothing or a beautiful music to soften the blows of life, the traumas of life. I guess, you know, you can tap into music, you know, for a certain comfort as you're going through. That's, I mean, anyway, you get the point I'm trying to make. But the reality is reality. And so we'll take a break. But the point of all, the reason why I bring up the movie It, the killer clown, is that I was reading this quote from this priest, an Orthodox priest, Father Alexander Shemin, and he says that there is so much evil around us that this faith in man, in his freedom, in the possibility of handing down a radiant inheritance of goodness has almost evaporated and been replaced by cynicism and suspicion. And the answer is, as this movie's coming out today, is the birth of a child in whom are concentrated all the goodness, spiritual beauty, the harmony and perfection that are elements of genuine human nature, in reference to the birthday, the nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. So that they're in the midst of this darkness and this foreboding sense that people may have, that if we don't, as I keep saying, we don't lean into the light, if we're not looking toward God, and God as he's revealed himself in Jesus Christ, so the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ and the whole story of redemption, if we don't, if that's not part of our worldview, then the cynicism, the what was the other word that he used? The suspicion, cynicism, can take control and really bring people, if not into desolation, to the point of despair.
Sounds like a real kind of possession now. It's not the devil possession, but cynicism or suspicion takes over you. That's a modern-day possession.
Which is precisely why there needs to be a reawakening to the supernatural and the mysterious, the sacred mysteries of our faith. And so when we come back, I want to share with you what I, which is one of my favorite readings, the gospel reading for this day, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I love it, and I may have read it before on the air, but I'd like to do that for a reason. For a reason. Good. All right, everybody, we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to listener-supported Winds of Change, WNDZ. NDZ, whatever, okay.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing on first Saturday afternoon starting at 4:30. Find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago. And find peace and healing.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States. And St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd at 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 64 West Jackson.
Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
Welcome back, everybody. Today is the Nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This is a feast day, and the Gospel, I want to share with you the Gospel because I think it's actually twice a year that we have this Gospel. It's on the Nativity of the Feast of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and during Advent, as we're about midway into Advent, it might even be in the octave leading up to the Feast of the Incarnation, Christmas. But this is from Matthew's Gospel, and see if you can bear with me as I read it, and ask yourself why this is important. And I was very happy that I had the children, that the children's mass was today on this feast of the birthday, the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin. But this is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. This is the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham became the father of Isaac. Isaac, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Judah and his brothers. Judah became the father of Perez and Zerah, whose mother was Tamar. Perez became the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Aminadab. Aminadab became the father of Nashon. Nashon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz, whose mother was Rahab. Boaz became the father of Obed, whose mother was Ruth. Obed became the father of Jesse. Jesse, the father of David the king. David became the father of Solomon, whose mother had been the wife of Uriah. Solomon became the father of Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the father of Abijah. Abijah, the father of Asaph. Asaph became the father of Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, the father of Joram. Joram, the father of Uzziah. Uzziah became the father of Jotham. Jotham, the father of Ahaz. Ahaz, the father of Hezekiah. Hezekiah became the father of Manasseh. Manasseh, the father of Amos. Amos, the father of Josiah. Josiah became the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the Babylonian exile. After the Babylonian exile, Jeconiah became the father of Shealtiel. Shealtiel, the father of Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, the father of Abiud. Abiud, the father of Eliakim. Eliakim, the father of Azor. Azor, the father of Zadok. Zadok became the father of Akim. Akim, the father of Eliud. Eliud, the father of Eleazar. Eleazar became the father of Matthan. Matthan, the father of Jacob. Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Of her was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. Now this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found with child through the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, since he was a righteous man, yet unwilling to expose her to shame, decided to divorce her quietly. Such was his intention, when behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home. For it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived in her. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This is nice. I love this. Why do you think I like it? Because it's, what do you think?
Because it tells you from beginning to end the genealogy.
The genealogy, you know, and for the students.
It's a story.
For the students, yeah, see, this is, I always say that we're part of this big story. Mm-hmm. It's been unfolding. This is what's so unique, very unique about Judeo-Christianity, is that it's everything was foretold. We've got 2,000 years of history in preparation for the messianic moment in time when God visited us in the flesh. And certainly the Lord, and this is the beauty of it all, and I can't emphasize this enough, because even as we go through our own day with all the crises and all the deviations and the scandals and all this kind of stuff that, you know, we get access to this information. It keeps us, you know, we're in a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual combat. The world is always in tension, always in conflict. And if we're not leaning into God, if we're not leaning into the light, and even, you know, even reading this genealogy, there were, some rather wicked characters. And yet there were some very saintly, great patriarchs. It's interesting that the women were, they were interesting. The only women that are named in the genealogy are, what was it? It was Rahab, Tamar, Bathsheba. Well, all this leads up to the Blessed Virgin, but they were sinful women, but and they were not of the covenant. But God used them, and as I think I mentioned the other day, didn't I? I believe I did. You know, you look at the patriarchs, look at Abraham and Moses and David, Jacob. You know, they weren't perfect. They were not perfect, but they had a disposition. They were receptive to the inner working of God's Spirit. And so it's been all through history. But the beauty of this is that God is in dialogue. God is condescended. God is in, we're in this, it's not a monologue, it's not a dictation. God doesn't dictate, and the scripture writers just write. This is a story. This is the unfolding drama of God in relationship with a people. And he starts with this nation. He builds this nation, this little nation, and from this nation the Messiah would come. And so he patiently, perseveringly, constantly, consistently, at times he has to chastise, punish the people, bring them down a little bit in order to reawaken them so that his divine plan can continue to unfold, because it's all going to lead to that messianic moment in time. And so when we celebrate the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, it's the woman has now come onto the world stage. You know, she's not yet a woman. She's been conceived and she's been born of Joachim and Anna, her parents, the grandparents of Jesus Christ. When you think about that, Jesus had grandparents. This Sunday is Grandparents' Day, by the way. Happy Grandparents' Day to the grandparents. We're going to invite our grandparents to Mass at 10 o'clock. You know, the kids are getting ready for that. They're going to bring their grandparents. But with the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the world puts its eyes on the woman that was prophesied in the book of Genesis after the fall of man, that that her seed would crush the head of the serpent. This woman would emerge in history. And so this woman is predestined, chosen by God, but freely responds. Nobody is forced. into this story, you know, or forced to respond. We're all in the story. That's a given, isn't it? We're all in the story. But how we respond to God's grace, to God's indwelling presence, that's the question. And of course, she gave her fiat, she gave her yes, and she conceived then by the Holy Spirit. So it's, but the genealogy is this, you know, that we've got a story. We've got a story. You know, families like to do their genealogy, right? They like to know where they come from, who were their great-grandparents and the great-great-grandparents, and they, you know, they're investigating, they're looking here and there and everywhere. We have people come here all the time because we're very, very much a historic parish, and so they're looking for their ancestry. But we've got this. We've got a written, this is what makes the religion unique of all religions, is that it, everything was foretold. Everything is, it's a written story. It's a written, there's a written history that leads up to the messianic moment in time and continues to unfold. And so, as I say so often, this is our time. This is a little bit of time that's been given to us, and how are we going to use this time? Either we say yes to God, to the will of God, we lean into God, lean into the light, or we just go about our way and live for ourselves, and God is kept in His heaven beyond the beyond, and we don't make a real contribution to the this unfolding drama. But how God uses even those who don't respond. I mean, God, because He's the Lord of history, right? He's the Lord of history, and so He's working His plan out in spite of us, really. But He needs certainly those who, in humility, sinful as they may be, or as we may be, because we've responded, otherwise we wouldn't be here. God remains with us. He's bigger than us. And He works in us and through us in spite of us. All He needs is a heart that is humble, sincere, and generous, and that there be a genuine gratitude and acknowledgement that indeed we've come from God, we are going to God, and we choose to live in God. So anyway, we'll take a final break on this. Is the Nativity, the feast of the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin Mary, whereby good breaks into the evil that is ever present into the world. So no matter how dark the dark is, this light is still more powerful. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
In 1867, Andrew Johnson was President of the United States, and St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, was established in Chicago. Today, St. Stanislaus Kostka is celebrating serving the faithful for 150 years with a Jubilee dinner Sunday, October 22nd. At 1 p.m., held at the Union League Club of Chicago at 64 West Jackson. Make your reservation before Sunday, October 8th. For complete details to reserve and pay for your tickets online, visit ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. Celebrate the 150th anniversary of the historic St. Stanislaus Kostka by joining us for dinner at 1 p.m. at the Union League Club of Chicago, Sunday, October 22nd.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
There is a lot going on at St. Stan's. St. Stanislaus Kostka is the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. There is Eucharistic adoration before the iconic monstrance, confessions 4 days per week, and masses in English, Polish, and Spanish. There's much more waiting for you here. St. Stan's is right off the Kennedy Expressway, just 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Find out more by going to ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org, and enter into the presence of Christ.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us as the church celebrates the Nativity, the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. This was the day of my grandmother's birthday into heaven. She died on the birthday of the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was born on the Feast of the Assumption and was a deeply devoted. Speaking of grandparents, actually, that just thinking of grandparents, you know, she was certainly had a powerful influence on my life. But she was, I say there was, she did, she cleaned, she prayed, she cooked. So it's all I remember her. She would visit us. It was an immigrant from Poland to Chicago, but we were Air Force people. My father was in the Air Force, and so we would move around, but she would come and visit us. And I remember she cleaned and she cooked. She cleaned and she cooked and she prayed. She always had her rosary in her hand, and we would, at night, we had to have her. There were eight of us. I've got five sisters and two brothers, and we would always want her in, you know, to sleep in our room. Right. And so she would, you know, a couple of nights stay in my sister's room. The two sisters had one room, three sisters had another room. And then my brothers and I, we had a room. We were on a bunk bed. Yeah. I was on the top. I was the oldest. And there was three beds, one on top of another. And we'd put a cot in the room and let her sleep there. And I'd go to sleep watching her pray. I pretended like I was sleeping, but I kept one eye open just to watch her pray. She would pray the rosary, and she seemed to, I'd fall asleep by the time she finished her prayers, but she was, when she would pray, this is what I call mysticism. She wasn't levitating or anything like that, but you could tell she was just so intent that this was, that she really, really, really was zoomed in, really focused on the object of her prayer, which was Almighty God and the Blessed Virgin Mary. And that she was, I imagine, certainly praying for the family and for, when we would go to Mass with her, too, it was just watching her pray the Mass. So she would be there at Mass. There was this piety, this seriousness, this there was nothing superficial about the way she prayed. It was like she entered into this. When we speak about when we gather in. In the worship of Almighty God, we speak of the sacred assembly. We come as asking the children that today again, you know, Mass, what does it mean? Well, they're beginning to get it. It means missio, mission. We're people with a mission. So we gather in sacred assembly for the sacred mysteries of the faith, and she would really be in that sacred zone, so to speak. And I was always mesmerized by that. But anyway... We're out of time. Did you know your grandparents, Tony?
No.
You didn't? You did
maybe,
not?
Maybe, yeah, my grandma, but they never wanted anything to do with us.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, that's for another time.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's another story.
Wow, well, you've got Our Lady, you know, the Blessed Virgin Mary. So, okay, everybody, listen, have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Happy Grandparents' Day to grandparents. Evidently, Sunday is Grandparents' Day. We'll be back next week. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed. words that you say when right from wrong has become so obscure.